I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's good, guys? Welcome back to the Everyday Struggle podcast with myself, Nadeska, and my guys, DJ Academics and Wayno. Now, look, we took 1 week off for vacation, then came back to Cardi B throwing shoes at Fashion Week, a surprise album from Eminem, and a Drake and Meek Mill reunion. But unfortunately, we also had to deal with the tragic news of Mac Miller's death. The Pittsburgh rapper was only 26 years old when he died on Friday, September 7th. Mac touched so many people with his music and his warm personality, so from our entire team, we'd like to send condolences to his loved ones. Dealing with such a sudden and devastating loss has made us even happier to see Meek Mill and Drake reconcile after years of feuding. Drake brought Meek on stage during a show in Boston to tell fans that things were finally good between them.
None of this was fake, right? They clearly are enjoying this. So Meek said, "We're both happy as shit." Drake said, "This really gave me peace of mind tonight. Healing and moving forward created one of the most electric and gratifying moments of my career. Meek, I'm happy that you're home and we could get back to our joint purpose." There's also video footage of them playing ping pong. How do you guys feel about them finally making up?
I am very excited about them making up because, you know what? It felt like there was a lot of resentment on both sides and a lot of bitterness because of how things played out. I think for Drake, based on how he felt he was thrusted and kind of quote-unquote exposed, he felt really strongly like, you know what? Not only I thought that guy was a friend, but I could never forgive or I could never even get to a mutual understanding with that person ever. I remember he said in an interview on Beats One Radio, he said, "I don't know how Jay and Nas forgave each other, but I don't think I could forgive that guy." Mm-hmm. Only to literally about a year and so after forgive Meek. And I think forgiveness is key. I think he probably realized that, man, they don't have the same energy for each other. Both of them are in so different parts of their career. It's not like they're going head to head. Meek has been going through so many legal battles to the point that you could tell Drake was like, "Yo, I gotta support him because at the end of the day, that's another black man going through it."
Right.
Right? And of course, Meek, even he might have felt a certain way at a time, but like he's been one of the people who like, "Oh, word, it's a hot new Drake song. I'm not a dude who's gonna be like, don't play it around me." He's dancing to it, he's having fun to it. They were both open to it, and I'm glad you could tell watching that reunion, and of course, that's not the first time they talked. Right. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was the first time they saw each other. But you could tell it was still a genuine moment. And that genuine moment showed that they are both happy to be cool again, or at least just kill that tension where it's like, "Yo, oh, he gonna be there. I ain't gonna be there. Or if he gonna be there, I got to move like this." The thing that I said this before, the thing that rap fans or just fans in general don't get about rap beef, when two people don't like each other, shit be different.
Yeah.
And two big artists like that, okay, so the award show time. He gonna be there? Like, we saw they were at some award show, like, shit's tense.
Yeah.
When you could kind of dead it, and also as someone that you kind of came up with many years, it's gratifying, and it's, of course, it eases everyone around you that you can be like, "Yo, listen, let's just kill all this." I was very happy.
Yeah.
Heartfelt from Act. Very, very heartfelt from Act. For me, I've known Meek since he was 16 years old, so like it's good to see his growth. I mean, Jay and Nas had a little bit more history. This beef wasn't really about much. It was about him, Drake writing the records, Meek getting the verse, discrepancies between there, but it was 3 years. It was 3 years it took them to make this happen. It was, for Jay and Nas, 4 years, right, to make it happen. People could get past shit. It was a dope moment. I ain't gonna lie. It was a very, very dope moment. It was good to see Meek on such a high platform, because we all know that Drake got like probably the biggest tour there is right now.
Right.
You know, I wish they had did it in Philly though. You know what I mean? That's the only thing. I wish it could have been done in Philly, so it would have been a little bit more impactful.
Right.
But overall, I don't got nothing bad to say about that. I just want people to know that if I don't fuck with you, mm-hmm. I'm not getting cool with you because of this.
Come on.
Nah, but
time
overall.
Time heals all. Time heals
absolutely,
all.
Absolutely. But
most.
Nah, real shit. But overall, it was a dope moment.
Hey, I will say this, because a lot of people don't realize that beef at that point, July 2015, I remember
yeah.
the month and the year.
Yeah.
When that happened, hip-hop kind of split. Drake stopped fucking with a lot of people because he was on some, okay, I see how y'all moving, y'all helped out, whatever. Mm-hmm. Meek stopped fucking with a lot of people like, oh, word? So you're taking sides.
Right.
I hope all could be forgiven, not only among both, right?
Yeah.
But even among other people who... they picked quote-unquote sides, like there's rappers who were rocking with Drake because, hey, shit, Drake might be the meal ticket or Drake's my friend. You get me? And the same with Meek. Hopefully this will dead a lot of tension. We missed out on so many great records. We missed out on so many great moments because we literally saw a separation of two guys who came up and who were, in my opinion, opposite sides of a coin. You have a dude who's street. You have a dude who's kind of pop, but he represents a different element. They combine a lot of times to great moments, and we were robbed of that. Hopefully, we can see more, and who knows? We might get a record.
That's why I say all the time that Meek is one of the top five or either one of the top rappers of today, because I feel like for the special place that Drake holds with what he does and how he runs shit, Meek runs that on the other side. You know? Like, I feel like, of course, like, Drake has, like, the more mainstream success, but Meek... if Meek didn't have a lot of legal troubles over his head, it would be so much more that he could do. He could travel more. He could tour more. He could make things bigger for every project that he dropped. So salute to both of the men for coming together and making a moment for hip-hop. We'll never forget this.
We're stronger together. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I want to just say, like, for both of them, I hope people realize, like, because, you know, we have a lot of feuds in hip-hop from time to time. Like, these men settled their differences and they came together on stage. Unless somebody died or something on either side of whatever feud y'all have, like, there could always be a time that y'all get cool.
Exactly.
You get me? And it's always important that nothing happens to that point. Because if something happens, you know what I mean? If something happens that was that extreme,
yeah.
I don't know.
But that's why the timing is amazing, right? Because we're losing so many artists this year, unfortunately. It's nice that they solved these issues knowing that.
At the same time, I mean, and that, like, I'm just having my own little stance.
Bueno.
No, this don't got nothing to do with no Drake.
No, of course,
shit.
Of course.
It's just certain things can't be repaired, too. Always keep that in mind. Like, you know, time does heal a lot, but... disrespect, you know what I mean? And this is totally unrelated to Drake and Meek, because I feel like their whole thing was, it started off based on hearsay and, you know, Meek's stance on his records and Drake and all types of other little
shit.
There's
so many miscommunications.
It's a lot of miscommunication.
There's a lot of things.
But there's a lot of situations, and not only hip hop, but life, that are stemmed from disrespect. Yeah. And as a man, I can get, like, if we can come together and have a conversation about disrespect and you're man enough to apologize, cool. But if you're not, then we ain't never got to be cool. No?
And I will say, not every, like, issue has to turn into, oh, we're hugging on stage.
Right.
But I do hope all, and I mean all issues in hip-hop, you get to a place where it says, yo, listen, we ain't gonna be friends, but we ain't gotta be at each other's necks. Yo, it's hard. Could you imagine how hard it is to be like, all right, if I'm here, you gotta make sure he not here. It's too many pieces, too many moving parts. Oh, okay, we're at an award show. Make sure he leave before I come in. That's weird, you get me? Not everybody gotta be friends, but it gotta come to a place that if y'all operate in the same industry, Drake said on the record, if somebody ain't gonna die, we gotta dead it. You feel me? Like, where are y'all gonna have that tension forever? Or are you gonna be like, you know what? I'm past it. I still don't fuck with you because you a snake or whatever, or you did whatever.
Well,
but we could not be at each other's necks.
It took years for Drake and Meek to patch things up, and hopefully Nicki Minaj and Cardi B can also get there at some point. After a New York Fashion Week event where Cardi went lunging for Nicki and throwing shoes in her direction, it became pretty clear that there's no love between these two. According to Cardi, it all allegedly started over a comment about her newborn baby. She said it pushed her over the edge.
Her opening line on Bodak Yellow is, she say she gonna do what to who? Let's find out and see, right?
Right.
Now, she been saying, I can't wait to have this baby because it's a bunch of bitches that I got problems with that they gonna see what's up. That whole MTV VMA shit, she was throwing little shots here and there, whatever, right? Now, I commend her. I commend Cardi B. I commend her. You want to know why? Because when we talk about hip hop and we talk about all these dudes who got problems with each other and talk all this shit about what they going to do and see each other and then don't do nothing but tweet or make videos, right? Dissing each other. We never hold them accountable for saying what, doing what they say they're going to do or not doing what they say they're going to do. When it comes to Cardi, no, violence is not cool.
But she's saying, I pull up twice for the conversation. You acted like it was all good.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about this, why I don't play with nobody kids, right? I don't know what she tweet was liked or whatever, but guess what? Anything Nicki is doing, Cardi B has a mic, what's that, a magnifying glass on her phone looking like, oh, let me see if she liked this or she said this or something. Everything she does. Same with Nicki. I believe that they both watch each other more than we watch them, right? Now, it's crazy that it had to get physical.
At Fashion Week of all places.
It's crazy, and it's unfortunate that it had to get physical, but I'm tired of people also saying, oh, why would she do something like this? This is going to stop. No, it's not going to stop nothing. You want to know why? Because that's who she always presented herself as.
Right.
And she was herself in this moment.
We always know it's different. Once you get people's families involved, it's completely different. And a kid, a baby's innocent. So understandable that she would be this enraged. What do you think, Ak?
Well, first of all, this whole Fashion Week shit, fashion shows at a new club.
She looks so fabulous, by the way.
Fashion shows at a new club. Niggas have polluted that whole scene. It's all type of niggatry going on over there. I gotta tell y'all this, man. I wasn't surprised at this. You're right. It seems very true to Cardi's character, even though I feel like it is beneath her at this point, despite who she was. You have to know how to maintain yourself. And also, you know what? Even though I'm with you with all that.
She was poor longer than she was rich.
Okay, I'm with you all that.
For real.
Cardi with it. Except I always say, Cardi, you got 30 security. She got 30 security. What were you going to do? What were you going to do? You're going to fight at Fashion Week? You got 30 security. She got 30 security. The venue got 15 security. How are you going to get to Nicki? Nicki was stuck on a goddamn wall getting held by 10 security who are willing to take a shoe, a heel, a fucking, like, a little mascara thingy. Like, they would take anything for her like she was the president. So I look at that and I say, even though I believe Cardi's very sincere in how she felt and how she was trying to approach Nicki, what was going to happen? It looks like flexing, at least.
Wait, hold
up. Do you think
up,
the message
up.
Was more important than what really transpired?
No, listen, it ain't about flexing.
I'm not accusing her of flexing. Let me just clarify.
Okay.
I'm not accusing her of flexing, but it's going to come across as flexing because you see, there's more security. Bro, it was hard to find out where's Cardi at? I hear a voice. It's all security.
I'm going to tell you why, because guess what, man? If you got a problem with somebody, it don't matter. I don't give a, like, this is just spoken from a person who has had problems and people have problems with me at one point in time or another in my life. Don't nobody give a fuck who's around you. Everybody gets it. Whoever.
It's on site. This is the
whomever
first time they saw each other.
Every security, you can't hold everybody back. People break through security. Now, the thing is, like I said,
she got a knot on her head.
She do got a knot on her head because
allegedly from a security guard's elbow by accident, right?
I'm just saying security. Yo.
Okay, but
I'm just saying, yeah. But like, you have to know where.
I don't think.
But
remember
again,
when Fat Joe said at the award show, thank you, 55 and all that security? Yeah, ain't nothing gonna happen to 50 because he got all that security.
But to his point, if you're feeling away and you show up and you see that person for a first time, sometimes it's just on site. You can't control the emotion, right?
You can't control yourself. Like, you can't control yourself in that moment when you've been feeling away. They've been feeling away about each other. They've been throwing subs back and forth in songs and tweets and Instagram captions, all that other silly shit. Now, I ain't gonna lie, yo, like, this shit is entertaining as a motherfucker. I'm actually here for Queen Radio. I can't wait to hear Queen Radio because I want to know what she feels, right?
Do we want a diss track or do we want to hear her talk about it?
Hold That's on,
the next
I want
to hear
What do we want?
No. I
want
to hear diss tracks. Okay. As long as don't nobody get hurt.
And this is my point, though. I don't think Cardi looked the best in all this because I know you're saying you can't control yourself. But
how she don't look the best in all this, man?
Maybe
That's
like,
who she is.
Maybe the ghetto black Twitter, but, like, it's the... No, you didn't do anything. Let's keep it real. You did not do anything.
How?
What did you do?
She caused a commotion.
No, I'm asking.
She caused that.
So you caused
now
a commotion.
Now she made it very officially and publicly know that they do not fuck with each other.
Okay,
up
that's
until,
great.
Up until
okay.
this point,
you're right.
It was always okay. Maybe exactly. Okay. Now we know.
You're right.
Now we know.
And we've always known.
Right.
Only the dick riding fans didn't know. So I'm saying you didn't do anything because you got riled up. Nikki's there chilling, looking unbothered. She had a photo shoot after this, by the way. You're getting elbowed in the face. You get escorted out of the event. Nikki still stays there. So on social media, of course, like the niggas who just want to see a fight. Yo, you were ready to turn
that's
up.
That's what makes up social media. What are you talking
you're
about?
You're right. You're right.
What's your point? That's what make. That's why we was just laughing this morning about some fuck shit on Instagram. Was
you,
we not?
You're right. However, I feel like there's a way she could have handled it. That
so
did,
you thought, he thought Cardi B was going to walk in and this say, you know what, Nikki?
Come on, academics.
I'm coming
let's
to
hear.
You as a woman. I don't, you know, I don't
honestly,
appreciate.
Honestly, I don't think that's the venue. If you really want to get that chick,
no,
if
no,
you
no,
really
no, no,
want to
no,
get that chick, oh, you've talked to her. We've seen pictures of y'all from the last Met Gala, right?
That's the thing. How
smiling.
Often do you think they run into each other, first of all?
Put it like this. You didn't get close to her. You just, what I'm saying is there's a way
she
to
she was close.
It.
She was close.
It was as close
no,
as
she
the
was
got
close.
To her.
No, she was, there was close. Now,
I love Cardi. Yo, trust me. I love Cardi so much. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is that other than people trying to see a fight and yeah. trying to see, like, oh, that fake flex and shit, and I need to stop using that word. I don't believe she's fake flexing.
Yes, remember
all.
The baby.
Right?
It's like a kid.
I'm only, when I say fake flexing, I'm knowing what security is paid to do, and no security guard or security company with 5 or 10 security will let their client, even if you want to go fight, it could be, I don't know who elbowed Cardi, it could have been her own security, like, bitch, you ain't going to fight. You pay us.
Yeah, all right.
No way.
Okay, so Ak, it's two sides to this, right?
Now.
Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
But this is the flip side. In the Instagram social media posturing, Nikki doesn't look good. You know why? Nikki has been talking all this shit about, like, she had a lot of energy for Miley. Same thing. You're in the VMAs. Miley was good. You're not doing nothing to Miley. Cut it out. People
so
gotta
was she
stop.
Flexing?
Yes! Yo, all these entertainers be flexing with security. They never meet up. They never scrap. Let's keep it 100, bro.
No,
niggas
right,
be talking shit. Niggas talk shit, and when you see them...
No, you absolutely
the
right
niggas with
that.
Money, they have 30 security.
So it's two sides to it, right? Now, yes. You know where you're right? You're absolutely right where Cardi, you know...
Everybody can
wait,
turn
wait,
up
wait,
with
wait,
security.
Wait, look, okay, Cardi. You a fucking superstar. Mom. You know, new artist. We love everything from you. And do we want to see you in that light? No, right? No, like, is that something that we want to see? Do we want to see Cardi running down on people?
Oh,
no.
But
wait
a second.
Wait. Her audience want to see
exactly
that.
Exactly.
Her audience
want to
see that.
This
hurts
Cardi
right.
At all.
No, this is what I'm getting to. All right, now, with Nikki, even with Nikki, do I want to see Cardi B and Nikki fight? No, I don't.
You're
right?
lying.
No, I don't want to see the fight because I don't want to see nobody fight.
He's
right?
fucking lying.
I don't want to see nobody
I can't
fight.
Even give a
but
shit.
Look, but look. Or some G shit, right? It's a moment. I feel like she got her point across because, yeah, we always felt like for the insiders, we know that, like, okay, they don't really fuck with each other. But she let it be known. Let it be known right there. And the thing is this, right? I hate to see women specifically because I feel like that's the most highlighted thing when it comes to women, right? They always want to show women on some bullshit. They don't show when women are fucking donating their money because not only men donate money to causes, women are donating money to causes, or women are doing great things.
Salute to Nikki, by the way. She paid for a lot of people too.
Absolutely, she paid for a lot. They don't highlight that as much as they highlight this. So no, I don't want to see that. But it was a funny moment. And I'm here for the funny moments because we was here for all the cocksuckers of the week
and all that other shit. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about an image. But I will say this. For Nicki Minaj, pop so much shit, that type of thing happened. She's announcing that Queen Radio. And by the way, like, I strongly believe Nicki at some point, and like, she's on this whole spin cycle trying to make herself the victim. In all of this, oh, Travis Scott did something, I'm the victim. Oh, Stormy was born, I'm the victim. Like, come on, man, cut it out. She has to explain, this is the fifth time, you just acknowledge it, fifth time, like, we've heard, or at least I'm counting five, fifth time we've acknowledged someone say, hey, you're doing shit behind the scenes to fuck with my money.
Right.
You're trying to block me from opportunities. You're telling people not to work with me. Mm. Where Keisha? Keisha Cole came up to Everyday Struggle and cried.
And so I'm saying that's so what I think is the
Nikki
most important part.
Nikki has never answered that, and I know her fans are super loyal to her.
Exactly, but who do we?
If you play dirty behind the scenes, and you're trying to prevent young artists' careers, that's the only reason why I give Cardi a pass. Because you know why, Cardi? People say shit about a lot of shit all the time, and it's a time and a place for everything. You get that bitch, you can get it somewhere else. Mm. But when you see someone, you know what I mean, when you add it all up, it's a cumulative effect. Mm-hmm. When you add it all up, this chick been trying to stop my back for forever, but still I prevail.
Question.
I sold more than her. Mm-hmm. This chick is now subbing my parental abilities. Mm-hmm. I might have to get it. That's the only reason why I said, Cardi, I get it, even though I don't think it's the best, but I get it.
But Akwaeno, does this change the way you look or think about Nikki when we say she's a legend, right?
No.
She's a legend in the game. Yeah. If it is true that behind the scenes she's been actively trying to undermine other women, does it change the way you feel about her?
No, not for me, because it's a lot of artists, man. That's why I say, man, a lot of these artists, you got to take them for their face value. Like, we had this conversation before, I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan, right? Like, I would never want to meet him unless it was like some personal shit with somebody introduced me, because if he treated me a certain way, I would be highly disappointed, right? It's the same shit with these artists. A lot of artists are not who you think they are off of these songs and out of these videos. Some of them are just bad people. Not specifically pointing that at Nikki, I'm just saying for a general statement. Now, with Nikki, it doesn't make me look at her no different, because I'm just taking what I get from her.
Right.
I'm not like, well, she hating on this or hating on that.
But
or
I think she said in an interview something to the effect of she was disappointed to the interviews Cardi did after Motorsport. She was saying, if I did a song and there was a legend on it, I would feel honored. She felt like Cardi's response to it was rude to begin with.
Hey, self-preservation. I know we're pointing Nikki out, and it's really because we know the amount of females that have gotten relative success, the list is rather short. So we're looking at Nikki to say, if you contributed to holding other people out, it's kind of egregious. But let's not act like niggas don't do it too. We had an artist that came on Everyday Struggle who told me afterwards, hey, a nigga made sure I wasn't on a show. Mm-hmm. He told the promoter, if that nigga on the show, I ain't doing the show and I'm the bigger artist. This music industry is about leverage. And I don't know if it makes you a bad person or just self-preservation. If you feel someone doesn't like you or is trying to get you out, and you are either, people do that at war shows. If so-and-so win, if so-and-so win, I'm not coming.
Right.
I'm not giving you ratings for you to highlight that guy. I'm not coming to sit in your audience that you could show that this is the new person that's taking my spots, winning over me. Mm-hmm. You know it. You know that's true.
That shit is whack. I'm going to keep it 100. I'm never not going to a place.
On a personal level, it's whack. Well, you know what happens. Like, this is a music business.
Okay.
Again, I have no proof of this, but I wouldn't be shocked if Drake didn't do the same thing to Meek at times. Mm-hmm. Yo, if this nigga come to this or whatever, I don't want him there. And we might cite, we got problems, but no, I don't want to give nobody no opportunity that has issues with me. Nikki has been on some Atlantic is brewing another chick to come against me. Oh, they keep signing other people and trying to position them. I need to protect my spot. Okay, cool. And again, I'm not agreeing with it. I do think it's flagrantly wrong, especially, and I'm sorry to point out, but in female rap, because we don't have that many women rappers who are really rising to the top. So when you're just hugging the spot and doesn't look like you're embracing other female rappers, you're just only boxing everybody out, it's really egregious. But let's not act like it's not self-preservation. Do I think Nikki's a bad person? No. I think she's a chick who realized that she got the queen status after, of course, Lil' Kim, and she's like, shit, I see all these chicks that, you know, people are so quick to, look how people are championing Cardi B. People are so quick to champion the new chick.
But is it just the new chick or some people tired of Nikki's actions or just tired of her as a whole? Because that's the thing.
True that too.
Every time, we're always going to get the next generational superstar. Mm-hmm. That's just forever gonna happen. I feel like if you're not secure in your spot and you're not willing to understand that you're not always gonna jump as high as you used to, then you'll never be able to be respected how you should. Right now, my fault, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if self-preservation, making sure you're good, your career is safe, is the same thing as blocking someone
else.
That's
two different things, right?
I don't think that those are the same. Like, I don't wanna be successful at the expense of other people.
I believe in Nikki's mind it is. I wholeheartedly believe in Nikki's mind it is. Because I don't want to believe that she's a very bad person who just hates people and who just, malicious.
I don't think that she's a bad person. I just think that, you know, you have to realize, yo, and like that's why I equate a lot of things to sports. You have to realize that you're not always going to be as good as you once was.
At this point, academics felt that Nicki had the perfect opportunity to bury Cardi with a diss track, but that's absolutely not what went down on the next episode of Queen Radio. Instead, Nicki tried to pull up all the receipts and drag Cardi through the mud.
You just had the biggest blessing of your life with a child, and in 2 weeks, you have attacked three women, one at Fashion Week, and left looking the way you left looking so that people could point their fingers at our culture and at our community and laugh at us some more?
All right, there you have it. So, for the record, she says she never had any commentary about Cardi's kid. She said she would never do something like that. But she did go on to try to dig up some old receipts of Cardi allegedly saying some terrible things about black women, apparently making a comment about someone's dead child, on and on. I don't know. What do you guys make about all of this? It got pretty ugly, of course.
Nicki, by the way, I'm loving this new lane of rappers who are also realizing that not only they could write and they could put together bars, but they could speak really well. You've seen Joe do it, Remy do it, shit. And clearly Nicki has a knack for her radio show, and to be honest, I think she's a good orator.
She's excellent at it.
She delivered an amazing propaganda yesterday, and shit, by the end of Queen Radio, I had my pink wig on, and I was saying, yes, bitch, yes, and of course,
academics.
I 100%, shit, I was disliking Cardi yesterday. I was like, God damn.
Wow, okay.
Cardi. No, this is how well she presented everything.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff she was saying about Cardi, it's been either said before, or some of the things Cardi's even refuted, but hearing everything just kind of brought to the surface and put in perspective, given the understanding that we all had that, yo, you attacked Nicki or you were trying to attack Nicki, whatever, at a fashion show because she mentioned your child. Okay, you've done similar things. Secondly, given some of your behavior, are you in any position? It made Cardi actually look crazy.
Right.
Crazy. And I'm not going to lie, I would have rather the track, but the propaganda that she laid down, and I'm not saying everything that she said was true, but trust me, if I'm a impressionable mind, which most fans are,
right,
I probably listened to this and said, damn, Nicki got a point.
Yeah, so one of her big storylines here was that Cardi has allegedly sent men to beat up strippers over men she's been involved with. There are a lot of things thrown around.
My question is this, right? So yesterday when you said like what Drake was doing where he kept poking and shit, he seemed like a bully. So do you think that Nicki doesn't seem like a bully in any of this? Like, do you think that she hasn't done anything to antagonize the situation? From bars to the little subs that she's throwing in bars to... Cardi never said that she said something. She said that somebody said something about her and she liked the tweet or liked the comment, etc. So you don't think that she's had a point in picking? I feel like all of them is out of their minds. Like, seriously, I'm going to keep it 100. I feel like they're all out of their minds. I feel like Cardi has just been feeling the heat from Nicki saying little shit.
Right.
For not just on her album, but for the whole time Cardi's been having her run, when she talks about other rappers or other women and she never says Cardi's name, and we all know she's talking about Cardi because we never put nobody's pen game in question other than hers as a female rapper. I feel like she just had enough of it. And yeah, this shit is a little bit out of hand, but I think actions beget actions. And I feel like Nicki can't, I understand the point she's trying to make, but you can't act like you have nothing in how she's acting at all.
So to the question you asked, right? You said,
Do you feel like she's playing a little bit of a bully? Because Nicki is the bigger superstar.
Mm-hmm.
She is. She's the biggest. Cardi's on the come up, but Nicki's the bigger superstar. She, even though her music may not reflect it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has a bigger voice. And she's done a lot from, all right, you got her poking through bars. You got her poking on the radio show before she said anything.
It's a good question, right?
Yeah.
Because I think Cardi fans would look at it and say, sure, she's being a bully, you know? But the Barbs would never see it that way. Sure, I'm saying, of course, it depends on whose side you're on.
I don't think
on,
Drake is a bully.
But I'm sure
Kanye,
that,
so,
yeah, people, well, the Barbs well, looking at
well,
this.
Well, you have someone who seems like, who's basically apologizing the whole time. With Cardi and Nicki, Nicki's been taking shots. Cardi has been too. Like, we're gonna sit here and when she won her little VMA or whatever it was, the MTV award show, and she basically got up here, y'all bitches, and she was talking to Nicki.
Right, like, absolutely.
So she's been taking shots as well. I think what you have to take away from this, and I do not believe Nicki's being a bully, because to be honest, this is the first time I feel like Nicki's actually managed to swing the pendulum of sympathy, even though she
to
accused,
her side?
Yeah, to her side in a while. And I think that's very telling. She's treating this whole thing like a veteran. Cardi looks like an emotional rookie. Okay? And while she might be right in some of the things, somebody talk about your kid, fuck all that shit. Like, let's get to it, right? But Nicki is playing this, and she's playing to the public. And you know, in music, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not really sometimes what really is going on, how you really feel. It's how people perceive it.
Better story, right?
Exactly.
A good story always better
and
than the truth.
And if I listen to Queen Radio and I saw that incident, I'm not going to lie, it's hard for me to look at Nicki and say, damn, girl.
Because of the way she started it, the way she started by saying, I was mortified, I was horrified. You have people pointing at our culture and laughing. She's just an expert in the way she delivered that. We have to give her that.
Race card, man. Nicki masterfully pulled
the race card. She pulled the race card, but at the same time, she also said, you came into my culture. Like, that was a bit much. That was a bit much.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Because so Cardi B can't be a part of hip-hop culture? This is Nicki's culture?
No. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm saying her, again, what she laid out is propaganda. It's for people who are listening to say, you know what? I'm subscribing to everything she's saying. There are a group of people who feel like, shit, Azealia Banks is someone, is, well, of course, she's crazy, but still, Azealia Banks is one of the people who always try to say, hey, Cardi B, she's Hispanic. She's not black. She gets these opportunities that us black women don't get. And it's that separation of even though
we can't take her seriously because she also shits on Nicki Minaj in the same breath, right?
You're right.
You gotta keep her out of this conversation.
Rapping Bodak Yellow word for word.
Right. Okay, you're right. But when Nicki puts that into perspective, along with other things she said, yo, Nicki as well said, hey, you didn't have to write your rhymes. You didn't have to go through that underground period like I had to. You basically came up with a silver spoon. You're privileged. That's why she let it all up to you need an intervention.
But she said that she came up with a silver spoon and she's privileged. See, but that's where the frustration builds.
Right.
And I'll say this, like, even with her playing a race card, listen, show me a black person that don't say racial shit about everybody. Like, let's just keep it a band. Like, everybody says shit about everybody. So her saying that, and then another perspective is maybe she felt like that at a certain time. I was watching a documentary on City Girls or something, and somebody was saying something about, no, was it City Girls? It was somebody, a female rapper said, it was something that she said years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yo, maybe she felt like that years ago because she was dealing with a certain situation or a particular person. When somebody's dealing with something, they're not going to be nice to the person that's fucking with them. They're going to pick on everything, whether it be their color, whatever it is, right? Now, I just think that that's excessive. Now, we're talking about Nicki swinging the pendulum for her own sympathy. Yeah, she pulling out the special sauce on this one because you don't
Do you think it was effective? Maybe not mine, but do you think it's effective?
I'm entertained. Like, what I will say is that I'm entertained by all the shit that Nicki's doing. I feel like they're both just out of their minds.
But do you think the average fan at this point, right, who's telling the better story? So I'm sure wrong has been done on both sides. Just to be fair,
absolutely,
let's say that, right? So now it feels like whoever's telling the most entertaining story, to your point. What do you think the average fan believes now?
They're rocking the truth right now. They're rocking. Listen, I don't know how calculated she was with this particular radio show, but
6ix9ine called up in the first, like, 10 minutes.
No, right, exactly. Don't get all that.
Funkmaster Flex is there. Dropping bombs.
But she's dropping, hey, listen, I got this clip of her speaking years ago. Right. I have screenshots of her calling black women roaches multiple times,
right? Which, by the way, Cardi has addressed in the past, but nobody cares now because now everybody knows it. She addressed it to, like, a smaller Twitter audience before. Now everybody's on. It's like people discovering Drake doing the blackface. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he did that. People knew, but it's on bigger level.
I think
level.
That's the same.
No.
Okay, here's one thing.
I feel what you say. I'm just
so in terms of her, Cardi saying, you've tried to stop my bags, right? This is something we've heard before. She tried to counteract that by saying, now you're trying to, like, stop the strippers when that's where you came up. So she really tried to, like, get her point for point.
Yeah, she got her. I'm sorry. Like, Cardi is going to come out, I believe, Instagram Live, tears and all. You're going to see Mama's love in full display. And I believe the pendulum is going to swing back to Cardi. Because this is, again, I just believe this is all, until they rap, it's all propaganda.
Yeah.
How could you get, what theory could you get people to buy into?
Right.
And I believe whoever who speaks last will believe. Like, Nicki really had me believe. I was like, damn, Cardi, you're a horrible person. I was sitting,
you're so
seriously.
Yeah, like, damn, dog. You're a cheap date.
Wait.
If I'm listening to everything that Nicki's saying, if I'm going with that timeline, again, I'm thinking like an impressionable fan is.
Okay.
Of course, I have had interaction with Nicki, so I got my personal stories to tell about her. But I'm thinking like a regular fan. If I'm a regular fan and I've seen all that painted about someone, even that I like, might make me look a little bit different at her.
I feel you. And for the average, but then you have, I don't know what Cardi B's fan base is called, but you got the Barbs. Because, like, you always have those people that no matter what, they're just going to stick with them.
Right.
Through whatever. So you have the Barbs, you got the Bees or whatever you want to call them. And I think it's just going to be a spat and a war between them to decide who comes out on top.
What if Cardi never responds?
She's definitely going to respond. She's from the fucking Bronx. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's like,
it's just, what's the move right now?
What's the move for
then
her?
They go back and forth for weeks until someone gets tired.
If I was
actually drop the track, then
I would diss her. Like, I'm gonna keep it 100. If I was Cardi, because at that
drop
point,
a diss song?
Yes, I would. You want to know why?
If it's a good one, that could be a move for Cardi.
First off, we're not looking for Cardi to fucking Lyrical Miracle bar nobody up, right? But I'm just saying, like, if we're just basing off of who goes first, who goes last, who catches who with the punch, if I was Cardi, I'd diss her. I have Offset and Takeoff write the craziest shit for me, and I diss the shit out of
it. I don't want Offset and Takeoff to write any diss. I don't want to hear Drip the remix, the Cardi diss. I don't want to hear that.
So you think that if they had to diss somebody, they wouldn't be capable of doing it? They're good enough rappers.
They wrote a song for Cardi on their album. It's called Drip. I don't want to hear that being a diss song.
It's not good. Sorry. Oh, it's Drip? Like, come on.
No, I'm cool. No, like, I mean, she has capable people around her. She could definitely come up with something. I just think that opens up a very slippery slope. You're not writing your shit. Right. You're dropping diss songs?
But she knows, everybody knows that. That's not a secret. Like, wait a second. That's not a secret. Cardi not writing her shit or not writing her shit is not a secret.
Hold on.
Are you speaking from your perspective or the average fan? Because if you're stuck talking about...
I'm surprised to hear this from Wayno.
Wow.
Because when it comes to diss songs, that's probably the only time that I look at the culture start at least embracing some of the traditional values.
So there's no more. Now listen, I love tradition and all that, but we're talking about 2018.
Exactly.
That shit don't fucking exist.
What if she dropped like a back-to-back that they wrote that was good and it was also catchy and they played it in the clubs, Ak? Seriously, we're thinking
now, as an average fan, not as hip-hop,
you.
Yeah. Real hip-hop time. Get the fuck out of here.
Or be the average
now
fan
you
or
on
be
that.
You.
Hold on. I'm not going to lie to you.
What?
If Nicki get washed by Cardi in a rap battle, I am done with Nicki. And I'm taking her legendary status.
Which I don't think...
What I'm saying is, I can't call her a legend.
You get washed by Cardi?
But it's just, what do you mean by washed now?
Washed is a very loose term.
What I mean is, like, if we have two songs to compare, and I could say at the end of the day that Cardi had the better... I don't care who wrote it.
Dog, you can doctor...
Wait a minute. So when we were talking about Drake and Pusha, right, you thought that Pusha had better bars and Drake was more clever, creative. So you're saying that if Cardi comes up and her bars don't match up, but she's clever and creative,
Are we comparing Drake to Cardi? Cut it out.
Not exactly. I'm talking about your like how you try to break down diss songs. Yeah. Sometimes you say the creativity is more important than the actual bars.
A lot of silly shit about diss songs.
Right.
No. Lyricism is different from like who the public rock.
You said Rich the Kid diss song was Takeover. So I can't even take you serious on diss. You did say that.
I wasn't trying to bring up bad blood between you two.
No. You see, I like how you take it out of context.
Propaganda.
I said
what?
he was talking boss talk.
Let's get off the subject. We're going to talk to the chick who's been running shit for 10 years.
All right, you're right.
Cardi, do not drop a track. Actually, Cardi, this is a time you need to learn from the pro. You got to pick shit up quick. The way how you usually handle shit, the culture's frowning upon it. It was cool the first night. Yo, she almost snuffed Nicki. You have a knot on your head.
Man, I wish you could ask the culture sometimes.
You have a knot on your head. Everybody's looking at you like, yo, you kind of made us all look ghetto and ratchet at a fashion show. That's what everybody said. Nicki didn't say anything that...
Who everybody said that?
Is that really how everybody feels?
Yeah, that's what I'm
feels?
Saying. Who
Can
said
we call
that?
The fans, please?
Yo, we don't.
It was a bunch of security.
Wait a second. We don't look at Cardi no different. And I said this yesterday. We don't look at Cardi no different because that's who she presents herself as. Like, listen, if it was that bad, why the
hold
fuck?
Hold on, hold on. Are we condoning it though?
I don't condone those actions. But me not condoning those actions, don't tell me that the coach is like, oh my gosh, she made us look so bad.
Hip hop always has messy moments in public. Are we just saying this is the worst in history because it happened in fashion?
That's why people got to chill with their work. Like, that's why people got to chill the fuck out with how they talk to other people, because then when shit happens, then everybody up in arms.
I think that Cardi right now is not looking good.
Okay.
And I feel like the way she normally handles things, I just don't believe if she approaches this situation with Nicki, it'll be good. Because I heard an interview with her on Angie. She says, I don't do diss tracks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'm going by her words. Okay. I don't do diss tracks. I beat bitches up. If she gets on Instagram...
Okay, exactly. No, you can't be mad.
All right, hold on. So if she gets on Instagram Live, and that's I believe that Nicki just approached it on really some queen-like level. That if you come on that same type of... It just doesn't... I don't think you're going to win public perception. But I could be wrong. The ratchets,
if they had to go at it, I would think Nicki would lyrically get
of course, we could all agree on that.
But I'm just saying,
that,
like, it would be, what I'm saying is at this point, we're not even fucking talking about music anymore. Right. We're talking about two women who have a disagreement with each other, that are attacking each other through media outlets and platforms and all that.
And a court of public opinion is very fickle. It's very fickle. Like, you can't, like, sometimes they might look at you like, you could be real. We saw with the Meek and Drake thing. You being real, and they calling you whack. You feel me? That's just how it is.
At this point, we can only hope that things never escalate to another physical confrontation between Nicki and Cardi. Then, on the flip side, there's Eminem, who decided to put all of his issues on record, taking shots at everyone from Machine Gun Kelly, Vince Staples, and Joe Budden to academics on his new album, Kamikaze. But, beef aside, was this album actually a great follow-up to Revival, or nah?
Listen, relax. Relax, people, relax.
It's sick.
I listened to this entire album. Of course, listened to that song a million times, The Fall. It was Eminem doing what he does best, which I think in this age we call it cloud chasing, but it's a lot of name dropping.
No, hold on. Em's been doing that his entire career.
Okay.
In this age, when you name drop and you like mention people, whatever, it's called cloud chasing, but like he's been doing that, right?
He's an expert at it.
What it tells me is that Eminem was listening. And it felt like his last album, I Stand Firmly By It. If you listen to that album, you hear a bunch of contrived bullshit. And contrived bullshit, not that... I've never sat here, actually, or sat on the last set we had, and critiqued his rapping ability. But a lot of the sincerity in the records that was put out, it was like, bruh, this is kind of Like, you guys are having a formula and just doing what you think will work. It doesn't feel genuine. Mm-hmm. And this record was not that. This record was not, oh, hey, let me build up a stance that I believe people will rock with. This was, hey, listen, some of y'all really think that I ain't that guy no more. Let me get at y'all directly. Mm. Name dropped everybody who gave him a critique. Mm. I wasn't mad to be name dropped. Actually, that was an honor. I thank you, Eminem. Mm. But I understand him giving this album, but it does not detract from anything I said about the last album. Contrived bullshit. If he was this in tune with what people felt mm-hmm. and thought when he did, what's the joint called?
Revival.
Revival?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a way better album. This album was actually really good.
Hmm. Okay. When do you agree?
Yo, I ain't gonna lie.
Content wise?
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. It's a really good. I haven't liked Eminem music for a long time.
And this is the one.
This was good. First, I would like to say that you are a legend, young man, for Eminem mentioning your name. That was ill. Now, yeah. I'm gonna keep it 100. That's ill because that just goes to show that the type of content that you put out affects not only the lows and the youngs, but the Eminems of the world, right? So that's ill. But it was really good. Like, I can't lie. I was listening to shit like, yo, I haven't heard him sound this good
in a
long
time. Which is dope. So the content was good, and he got a reaction. So many people responded to him. You know, right. Ja Rule, Vince Staples, everyone had something to say. So
but
it had impact as well.
But I still feel like, even with all of that being said, I really like Not Alike, how him and Royce use, like, the young flows of today mm-hmm. and flip that shit. But to me, the best verse on this whole shit was Joyner Lucas on Lucky You.
It was definitely.
Joyner Lucas was wilding on that shit.
And also, to speak to a topic, did we do it here or on our last set? I don't know, but it was the one where he did the fake video with a girl catching VHS tape, right?
That was last year.
And I remember saying with that, I was like, wow, like, this nigga seems pretty much out of touch. I even put on my Instagram. I think Moti was responding to what I even said on Instagram, like, he got caught lacking, and he mentioned, and he flipped it. He was like, I'll never get caught lacking.
Lacking is such a funny word.
I'm not going to lie. Whatever or whoever was in charge of your rollout back then, yeah, them niggas was out of touch, bro. And I'm going to stand firmly on that no matter when. Mm. I like this project, but this project was literally a reaction. It's a reaction. It's a reaction to everyone. And with a nigga that could rap, that could pretty much almost say, I see you, 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 you. He could do this all day. Mm-hmm. Not giving this chip on his shoulder where he has to kind of respond to critics, right? Because he's done that his whole career, or he poked fun at people. I wonder how he delivers a project, because Revival was that. He tried to. Mm-hmm. Didn't come across well.
Well, you need the hunger, right? So after you put out so many great projects, you need something to rap about. So if that's the motivation, then is that something to complain about?
He's not really rapping about anything. Let's keep it called space. He's not really rapping about anything. He's just rapping, which is, his raps are very good. Uh-huh. Like, he can rap very well. I mean, he's one of the best rappers, you know, lyrically, flows, all that. But he's not really talking about anything.
I love critiquing people. I love tearing them down. But when they do something good, I like building them up. Listen, Eminem dropped bars at everybody who has something to say. I'm talking to rappers here. If them rappers ain't respond rapping, I don't really want to hear nothing.
Oh, so MGK, he did respond.
Hmm. I like
MGK
what he did.
MGK did respond. Were you impressed with his response? He was the only one. Everyone else responded Twitter, Instagram for the most part.
His shit was lit. I fuck with MGK because at the end of the day, what does he have to lose? Nothing at all.
I loved it. Rap Devil joint, it is fire. He was talking about some shit. You know what? And I know we all love Eminem, but I tweeted this out. M, you got to respond in a week, bro. I'm sorry. And it's probably been a week already. You have to respond.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
You can't go away.
Same rules.
No. The same rules apply.
Wow.
Because everybody hits you with the, yo, M dissed you. If you went to cook up your secret album, dropped it on some, hey, yo, this is a surprise, I'm getting back at y'all, you're the biggest rapper in the world. When people respond, you got to respond. I'm not saying you got to drop a dedicated song, but you have to respond to the people who are responding to what you're saying.
Are you sure?
But that's not the first time.
Historically speaking, when he would call people out in records, it's not like he felt like he has to go back and forth with them forever.
Niggas is rapping. He's calling pop stars out.
That's not his first time. That's not MGK first time dissing Eminem. That's one. That's not his first time dissing.
Okay. First time Eminem responded.
It took him 6 years, like 6 or 7 years to respond. Eminem, there's no time on responses, yo. Just when you respond,
we gave Pusha
sure
4 days, we gave Drake 4 days.
What's up, that's different, though. These aren't the same situation, right?
Totally different dynamic.
It's different calling a bunch of people out on your album on your M versus like.
Bruh.
Right. You didn't respond in 24 hours, so I don't hear that shit.
I ain't a rapper.
So, yeah, no, you're part of the culture. Actually, right?
No, I responded in the video. I responded. Listen.
Lil AK dropped the ball here, by the way. No, this was your moment. Right. This was your time to shine.
Lil Ack dropped the fucking ball.
Trust me, he's responding. But pull up the place. This is the only thing I don't get.
What?
We're so hypocritical when it comes to M. M gets to rap about it. You just said it. A bunch of bullshit. He could rhyme words well. Give him a thesaurus. He's nice. But when he calls people out, and by the way, let's not act like he's about to sell like 430,000 first week.
It's pretty good.
Way more than Revival that was promoted a lot with some bullshit campaigns. He's about to sell that because he called out so many people. Let's keep it 100. Is it because it's that great rap story? He's talking shit and calling people out directly by name.
Let's not take one, two steps forward on how we feel about Eminem's new fucking
album. Because you said the actual album was good besides just the shots, right?
I've never said sales equal quality. Sales equal demand and what
we talking about Eminem
here.
Beef
sales, but not that much.
Bro, but what did Revival sell? Revival didn't sell that well.
But we talking about Eminem here, so don't say that. Like, you attributing his sales to him dissing
the increase
people?
In sales in him dissing a bunch of niggas.
Really?
Come on.
Yes.
Oh, how much? How much of his
come
sales?
On,
yo, he didn't have a single this time. He had one with Beyonce. Here. Are you kidding me? He had a song with Beyonce.
Right.
For his last, the last Revival, right? He had a song with Beyonce.
The album wasn't good. It just wasn't good overall.
But you know people would buy it just off the features. This time it's a surprise album. You think everybody's really checking it for it like that? It was a lot more conversation because it
because
mattered.
It's good.
This part is one thing. There's an and.
Okay.
It's good. And he's mentioning everybody relevant in the culture. Let's keep it 100. He acknowledged that, yo, check it. I'm not just M on some type of island. I'm M who's still in his culture. And it matters what academics fucking says. It matters what Joe Budden is saying.
Ali, you brought the fucking backboard to his show.
No. And everybody. Charlamagne, it matters what this rapper is saying. Ja Rule, you could get it too, still. He was tapping everybody up. A dope effort. I like rappers when they come like that aggressive and that abrasive. But you cannot just drop it and run back in your cocoon and wait till 6 more years to drop your next project. If a rapper responds, okay, so give him his fair
game. So hold on, what's the best case now? M engages in back and forth with who?
Okay. MGK?
You're right.
White on white violence is lit. That's what I want to say. White on white violence is lit.
How would M and MGK going back and forth look?
No, y'all are laughing, but let's not act like Fall is cool, but Rap Devil bodied that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not saying...
So you would respect... No, I completely understand your point. I'm not disagreeing with you completely. I'm just saying,
I'm
really engaged, would you like
honest?
To see him
and
go back
MGK,
and forth?
MGK, you might be watching this. You upped my respect level for you. My respect level was never this high for you. And again, maybe it's because of my own fault because I haven't listened to your music as I should have. But when I heard this, I said, whoa, MGK is with the shits. And not only with the shits, but he got bars and he's saying some shit. And he's addressing a lot of things that now I got questions. I'm not saying Eminem got to respond in 5 days. Because obviously, even when we're talking about Drake and Pusha just put out an album. He was in rapping mode, of course. And by the way, it's big difference. Em looked like he's half retired, right? And of course, Drake was about to put out an album. We get those time constraints. But M can't just drop names and just act like nothing didn't happen. A rapper is engaging you. Don't we have some type of rapper engagement protocol? You dissed a nigga responded, he got questions, the culture needs to be answered. What's up? No answer?
I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, I'm not disagreeing with you in that aspect. All I'm saying is that he doesn't have to respond today by three.
All right, not by
that's
tonight.
No, but they people started tweeting that Eminem is working on a record to come at people, so.
I mean,
Billboard reported that too, that a producer said that something's to come.
Yeah, it all makes sense later.
If M dropped a diss song to MGK, MGK price don't went up, bro.
Then he could just
dissolve your market.
I'm gonna keep it 100. As long as you go back and forth, you have nothing to lose in today's age. Before, Eminem could like totally destroy somebody's career.
Right.
MGK, people forget that MGK has been here this long. When you look up, he's damn near almost 10 years
in. But like Ax says, a move like this, then you level up. People have more respect for you.
All he got to do is drop another record and he's lit.
And put it like this, yo. This song was number one on iTunes, a fucking response song.
Yeah.
And it was because not only, like, people were impressed. And all I have to say to everybody else.
And hype.
Okay, and hype.
Yeah.
To all the other rappers who were mentioned, I did learn one thing.
What?
I'm not expecting the littles to respond.
Of course not.
You get me? Everybody, just like myself, Lil AK, was like, yo, we feel privileged to be mentioned.
No, it'd be amazing if all the lils got together on one track.
One track. A.M.
No.
Yes.
No, come on.
And you do the ad-libs. You can really make that happen. If somebody can make it happen, he can make that shit happen.
Academics for the culture.
You can make that shit happen.
M came with it. I'm not going to take nothing from M. I like all the lils say, you know what? And this showed me how much respect people do have for M.
Yeah.
And I think he probably acknowledged.
Yeah, can we go scroll to Yachty's tweet really quick so I can read it? He had a good response. He was laughing. He was like, I think it's fire that M Yachty, super shot at me.
Zan. Yep. Most of these younger guys that were like, yo, I got dissed.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at him. I'm privileged.
Yep.
And that is all good and well. But when an MC steps up, we got questions.
You really want to see an MGK and Eminem beef? This is pretty funny.
I
know what you mean.
Not beef, but I want a response. I will say though, and I love my brother Joe, but Joe, that nigga came at you lyrically, bro. I don't want to hear a 2-hour podcast or a 3-hour podcast.
Well, guess what? The podcast was very lit, and if we have to go with anybody, I'm going with Joe.
Safe to say Eminem isn't the only one who's tired of hearing people talk crazy about him. During the press run for his new album, Zoo, Russ made it clear that he's sick of rappers who troll online but don't keep the same energy in person. He told The Breakfast Club that he had footage of himself fighting either Smoke Perp or Young Bands, and shortly afterwards, Academics got his hands on the video. Turns out it was Smoke Perp, who then hopped on Instagram to explain his side of the story.
Like I said before, I go in the bathroom, I come out the bathroom, it's like 7 dudes there. I ain't never seen them in my life. You feel me? They look like they with the fuck shit. I'm with the fuck shit, so I didn't give a fuck. I fought all 7 niggas.
You think people are going to be scared to say fuck Russ now?
No. I don't think that people are going to be scared to. When I look at Smoke Perp, this is unfortunate only because Smoke Perp is such a nice young man.
Yeah.
Have you met Smoke Perp?
I met him before. He's a very nice young man.
Super dope person.
He's a very nice young man.
Super dope person. And really, that's where my stance is with all of this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of rappers have an internet persona, mm-hmm. and they do things for trolling,
mm-hmm.
or just for, hey, this is the internet culture, we're following the wave, and in person, they're really nice guys. Like, people seem like, oh, he looks so dangerous. Yo,
nobody ever said that about Smoke Perp, that he looks dangerous.
The internet probably think that.
Okay. Do y'all want me to be honest with y'all?
Yes.
Be honest with me.
I had a conversation with Russ last night because I said, damn, Russ, you are the most unlikely candidate that we thought this footage would have came out, and apparently it was because them dissing you. And he says, well, why do you think that, especially with Smoke Perp? I'm like, I'm not going to lie, and this is really my introduction to Smoke Perp. I'm watching this guy online. Keep in mind, before last year, March, I never met nobody in the industry. So I'm really like a fan at home.
Right.
You've been around a lot of these rappers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You kind of probably know, all right, this nigga definitely ain't on shit.
I've been around the toughest one, so I don't be looking at none of them like that.
Okay. But fresh off the porch,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, listen, when you show me some shit, I like to believe it until somebody else proves otherwise. It ain't gonna be me. Somebody else. So I'm seeing Smoke Perp all over the place with a bunch of guns. I'm like, whoa, this guy either likes to show off his Second Amendment rights or he is some type of goon. Also, I see him on Instagram beefing with other people. I'm going to slap you when I see you. This is him talking aggressive to the phone. So I'm guessing that's the energy he's presenting outside of the internet. That's what I'm assuming.
The energy. You hear what Axe said? The energy.
But
you know how we be.
No. Of course. That's a direct energy, though. Right. Like, you're saying, I'm going to do this. You're a bitch. You're this, you're that. And again, when you're saying that to someone else that you might see, then I don't think they're going to just run and be like, oh, I was joking, bro. Dap it up.
Yeah.
Let's take a drink. Nah. So when I saw, like, I've seen other stuff, which I won't mention. And I'm like, that's not like Smoke Perp. I also met Smoke Perp.
Okay.
And I'm like, this guy is so sweet. Like, he's a nice guy. Like, where does that come from? I think it's the internet culture that does it. And also these artists want to stick out and present an image that we see that, then we see this.
Well, so this has been going on for months, right? But if this happened back in July, why is it being leaked now? So Russ said if they said fuck Russ again, he would drop it. I don't think Smoke Perp said anything since that interview, did he?
Well, Russ is, and listen, you know that.
The album was out.
Well, the general consensus is that y'all don't like Russ and I like
that's
Russ.
Not,
that's what people think, right?
But I thought we made up, though.
Yeah, but I fuck with Russ, but Russ is dropping an album, right? Right or wrong? Mm. And I think that, not that this is a part of the rollout or nothing, but it is an aspect to let people know, stop bothering me. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, he did a few interviews and he said, yo, like, people pick on me all day, but when I expose these people that's picking on me, then I'm on some bullshit, right? This is like a really big Dave Chappelle of fucking Boondocks skit, for real, for real. Like, I didn't imagine to see Russ running down on niggas. Run Down Russ is his new name.
Do you think there are more videos like this?
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely... Russ
has been on a rampage?
He has a library of videos. Yo, who knew? And he told me, he's like, yeah, well... I won't say he said this, but he said it. He said, yo, listen, man. He said, think about this. We international. A lot of these rappers you believe are super rich. By the way, congrats to him. He made the Forbes list. Mm-hmm. He moves a certain way everywhere. Smoke Perp, I don't know how he's set up when he tours internationally, but he ain't going overseas with AP.
So all these fights are happening overseas.
It could happen domestically, but... people move differently when they're home than abroad. Mm. Sometimes you're like, oh, we have no problem in Germany. It happened in Germany. Mm. Who's going to Germany with 10 people? You're thinking that half of people don't even speak the language. You go there and then you rely on festival security. But also what we realize, if you watch that clip again, there's somebody with a big-ass security shirt. He's just standing back. Security ain't, like, they're thinking the venue paid me. Nigga, take your ass whooping. I'll just make sure you all right. You don't get too far. But do what you got to do.
The cool thing about this is, like, it's funny, but at the same time, it's not only because... the funny aspect is that Perp, mm-hmm. he was talking crazy, wrote a check his ass couldn't cash, and he got ran down on.
The sister part was bad, too.
What part?
Smoke Perp had put Russ's little sister as his avatar picture.
He did.
And that's probably when shit really escalated. Oh, you know how it is. Yeah, it's like, family.
I think the different. Family thing keeps... Yeah, you know, like the younger rappers, there's no line to their disrespect. Yeah.
Right.
Of course, you know 6ix9ine, he's telling everybody within an ear's reach to do whatever, right? And then you hear other rappers, they take their... if they feel like the disrespect isn't getting to you, they'll disrespect your girl, your mom, your child. And at that point... people usually lose it.
See, but and this is my thing is this, is like, first off, like, if you have a problem with another man, you should not be disrespecting his family, right? Now, if once the point where you cross the line of disrespecting somebody's family, if you're not ready for what's going to come with that, don't do it at all. I didn't know that he put up a picture of Russ's sister and all that, like.
Well, when I talked to Russ, the first thing I said, Russ, why you do that, man? And he said, this is going to be the reaction after dudes bully me all year. Fuck Russ is the tagline. And they're throwing on my family, and I can't even... He said, all we did, we saw him, we asked for clarification. Anything that happened afterwards, we don't know about. We just asked for clarification. And I got to be honest with you, there is a breaking point. I told you, when I was in primary school in Jamaica, there was a nigga who tried to bully me. And one day, I hauled off and whipped his ass. Me and were best friends afterwards.
But where's the footage, though?
Where's the footage, act?
I know. Like,
that shit ain't never happened then.
No, but that happens.
Now, for real, yo, bullying is a real thing. And honestly, as sad as it sounds, it takes one of these incidents for people to be like, you know what? This isn't the guy that we all pick on.
I know, but at the same time, I don't want it to also open up a door for people to say, fuck Russ, he ain't gonna do that shit to me. Because you got both sides. You got people that's just gonna antagonize it. Like, even what, I think that if Young Bands had nothing to do with this, then, like, it's kind of fucked up that his name got thrown in it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, now he's probably has a bunch of people at him like, oh, did Russ do something to you? Did Russ do something to you? That's mm-hmm. why he responded the way he did. Because that's a form of bullying as well.
No. Hold on, no. Young Bands and Smoke Perp. I think that's what we gotta get.
Oh, that's his man. I don't know none of these things. No. They cool?
No. Young Bands, he's been dissing Russ. So he's one of the
rappers.
Yeah, every time.
Where's he from?
Russ would tweet a picture. There's a picture of Russ in the studio. Mm-hmm. And he instantly asked him, like, it's probably trash, you a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, okay. You got to imagine. You just tweet out a picture like that. So now Russ is taking this in. And he told me, he's like, yo, I'm taking names.
See, that's why I don't understand this. Because it's like, when you look at, like, hip-hop and beef, like, And of course, back in my day, no, motherfuckers was having shootouts and shit. Like, you know, yeah, like there was shootouts at radio stations, all types of shit. Now we at a point where people could just call you a bitch and tell, invite you to their dick and all this other crazy stuff. It's insane. Like, that's insane. Like, for real, that's why I go home at night, because I don't want to deal with none of this shit.
Let me ask that question. Or you.
What?
You think part of the reason why people pick on Russ as much is because not only would they not expect this to ever happen, because he's white.
I don't think it's because he's white. Listen, it goes back to the same way what I said about with Bow Wow. Bow Wow was 6'5". People wouldn't talk to him like that. It's his appearance.
Do you guys have a new level of respect for Russ right now? Are you looking at him different?
No, I don't.
Or does it change nothing?
This doesn't change anything for me, because, like, for me, when he was here and we got a chance to talk, and then off scenes when we got chances to talk, I respect him as a man for what he's trying to do musically and his career and his craft. I don't give no man more respect for what they do, because ultimately this is a negative situation.
Right.
Like, this is, nothing positive comes from this, because if somebody gets shot behind this shit, then you're going to be like, damn, they should have never put their hands on it. Mm-hmm. Right. So this doesn't breed anything good. I don't respect him more. It doesn't change anything for me.
Okay.
With regard to him. I respect him for what he does, not for this.
Yeah.
For me, what this does is, for fans, it probably breaks down this little smoke and mirror and industry, which is all built on facades. You kind of get like, oh shit, so you mean that's what's going on? Mm-hmm. Because again, this happened and no one knew. Other incidents like this happened, no one knew.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, some of the shit I heard at festivals, the festival is a rundown spot.
Yeah.
You at the festival and you don't got enough people, there's a problem. But for fans who probably think this guy's a pushover, yo, again, everybody has a breaking point.
Man, get in the gym. Y'all motherfuckers better start learning how to fight, because the Smoke Perp said I fought all seven people. It did not look like that.
Like,
also, that's just not, you shouldn't be trying to fight. Yo, listen, if you about to get jumped, run. I don't give a fuck what nobody say about, yo, man, I'm standing my ground. Ain't no, run, because if you get your teeth kicked down your throat and you got to go get surgery to get new teeth,
I think they're probably worried
shit.
About how they're going to look if they're caught running on the internet.
Listen,
because the internet's always watching.
Listen.
Do you?
Because ultimately, like I said, I told you before, I got jumped by like 15 people before.
Did you run?
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. So
no, but that's because I was a dumbass teenager. Thinking now, I should have ran.
They're
I got
kids.
My ass beat. It's nothing cool about getting the shit beat out of you just to say you hit one person. At least I fought one of them. No, get the fuck up out of there.
You don't want anyone to get seriously hurt here, right? So hopefully this doesn't escalate. We're laughing, but like, seriously.
I give you one better. If you about to get into a fight with a dude that you know take MMA, you going to stand there and fight him, or you going to run?
That's
get
a different
fuck
situation. Be out.
Hey, listen, you going to fight 10 people?
Hey, listen, man. And I do want to defend Perp with the, like, did he fight back shit. But I hope he takes some advice from how Safari handled that shit. Safari was in that situation.
Why are you gonna bring Safari into this shit?
Because he's a nigga with a little bit of experience, and he handled it okay, and his shirt was still white afterwards, okay? Was not Safari's shirt still white?
I can't stand you.
Smoke Perp had a black eye, and he didn't perform. Safari looked like he could have went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner afterwards, okay?
Yeah, he go.
Now, being honest, though, watching that video, I see a lot of people trying to critique, which is so hard to critique a nigga when seven dudes are hitting him.
Yeah.
It looked like he probably didn't swing back because he had his chain on and he was trying to hold that.
What? Fuck that.
Somebody snatch a chain, they snatch a career, bro. You know that.
Nah, man.
That's the rap on written rule.
But no, you know what? Let's start from conception of this whole thing. Watch your mouth.
It always seems like there's too much drama to go around, but right now we want to get back to the music with a fan question about Fab that came in for the guys. Why is Fabulous not revered as an MC? I know he might not have a definitive classic project, but when it comes to rapping, not many people are better at all.
My question is where is he from? Because
is it a East Coast, West Coast?
Nah, he's too New York to answer. I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, and I'm gonna let you take it away. Because with this M project that came out, and even like say the Joe and M thing, I've seen a lot of people for the first time start questioning M by saying, yeah, he's good at rapping, but he ain't saying shit. Content rapping is a thing now. Do you believe that perhaps why Fab doesn't get more respect? And of course, in New York, he's beloved. And that's why I say you might be like, you're here,
look at
so
his face.
You know.
Yeah, look at
Fab been doing this shit forever.
Let me see where you go.
But
with this.
Take a deep breath, Wayne.
Maybe internationally and globally and just like throughout the world, he's not revered as much because maybe he isn't as much as a content rapper. What do you
think? Well, okay. That's a very good question.
I think he phrased that very well.
He phrased it very
he's
well.
He's too, right?
A legend on the East Coast.
Love you, Fab. Yeah. No smoke. I won't do smoke. Don't do me that razor.
Oh, so when it comes to Fab, and this is like, I think that at the time when Fab could have taken over, which is when like Jay kind of dropped out of the race saying he was going to retire and all of that, and then you had the whole reign of 50 and Lloyd Banks, and this is around when like Fab made Breathe. Mm-hmm. I always felt like, personally, Fab didn't grab the baton and really run with it. I felt like he was kind of cool where he was at. He wasn't trying to be the main guy and all of that. But as far as an MC, that's why I got to ask, because all of this music is about what's more relatable to you. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we talk about all of these different things in hip-hop. Hip-hop culture, especially when it comes from the street, I feel like we don't engage as much as we should. Like, I feel like the era of bootlegging and all of that shit kind of hit Fab, because we would listen to his shit, but they wasn't going out and buying it the way they should as far as the streets. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to Fab being... Fab is one of the most respected MCs. You got to think, Royce da 5'9" is a highly respected MC. He put Fab on his album.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't just happen. Fab I think when it's all said and done, he goes down as one of the best MCs because he's been doing it. When you look up Fab, it's had a 20-year career.
Okay.
And he doesn't look old at all because he always stays current.
He's still putting out good music. That's why I'm curious to your point where this person is.
Yeah, I want to know where you...
It's different when you grew up in, like, Brooklyn. Of course, Fab is, like, a legend, so I wonder if it's different.
I feel
like
outside New York. I've talked to people outside New York, and...
A lot of people fuck with Fab.
No. While they...
Do they worship
know
him like
Fab?
We do on
nah,
the East Coast?
That New York worship is something else. No, like, they look at Fab like, yeah,
right? But at the same time, I could say this, right? Like, I feel like, in comparison to, like, certain people's careers, Fab, like, hasn't had, like, a T.I. career, because T.I. has stepped out there more as an artist. Like, all of these different things go into how your music is received.
So it's more about front-facing, not just about the music,
because
other things.
If you listen to what Fab say, yo, Fab don't give out no whack shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he don't give out no whack shit. He's always stepped up whenever he's on a record with whomever.
Rafina's killing her, I call it suicide.
I hated that line. Oh, I hated that line. I hated, but that line wasn't for me. No.
Fab has a 97% hit ratio on punchlines, but once in a while I'm like,
yo, 97
bro,
is an amazing.
That's 97 is.
We love picking at your little flaws, man.
That's like 3%
accuracy.
You could be perfect on the gram, and if you have one of your eyes bigger than the other eye, we get that. That's what it is. So
absolutely. But that's where shit is at now due to the internet. But in terms of Fab, I just think that it's all about what you engage in. We always talk about, like, what means something to you, the type of content that means something to you. Where I come from, Fab shit means something to everybody there. Unfortunately, motherfuckers ain't streaming it. They'd rather go to that Piff than go to Apple Music and stream the shit.
And finally, a topic that didn't make it to YouTube this week, but we just had to cover it. Wiz Khalifa defending his right to give his son a normal childhood.
So Wiz did defend this, and in a new interview with Billboard, he said, "I figured I would use my platform to get my point across. I felt like sticking up for my son. He's going to be mine forever, and down the road, he can say my dad stuck up for me." Mm. Look, it can't be easy growing up working class or poor and then having to raise a rich kid. He wants his kid to have normal experiences. Is there anything wrong with that?
Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, for myself, like, my kids, they understand what it is like to move from either the projects and to move into the gated community, right?
Finally, he admits it.
Yes, I live in a gated community, but, I mean, I never...
He lives next to Oprah.
Stop it. I wish I did. That's another bag, but I want them to have... I want them to understand where we came from, and I want them to understand that even though we have all of these great things, I had to work very hard for them. Me and their mother had to work very hard for them, so it's like, I want them to have regular experiences. That doesn't make us better than anybody because we live in a gated community. Just because Wiz, you know, is making millions of dollars and he's a superstar, he doesn't want his son detached from the world. And I feel him with that. You know, like, you want your kid to ride on a bus and you want him to have regular experiences with people. His kid is innocent. He's a child. You know?
Exactly. I believe it was Chris Rock I heard say a few years ago how hard it is raising a rich kid for the first time.
Wait, do you still deck your kid out in All Supreme like yourself?
No, I actually, listen. I reward my kids.
He's not wearing Fila and FUBU.
We never was wearing FUBU, and I'm not a big fan of Fila, so that's...
He's still going to look fly that. On the school bus, though.
But I give him opportunity to earn that, because the thing is that nothing was given to us, nothing was given to my mom, and I just want him to have the perspective of working hard, and, you know, him riding on a school bus... If Wiz was driving his son to school in a Wraith every day, they'd criticize him for that. Of course. People are going to have something to say. I like the fact that Wiz used this platform to let people understand that he is a human being. Just because he's making money, that does not take him out of living in this atmosphere and breathing the same air that everybody else does. And he wants to let his child live a normal life, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Wiz better than me. I mean, I was just going to say, you and I definitely grew up with very strict, crazy West Indian parents. How are you going to raise your rich kids?
Well, first of all, I'm broke, and they'll be broke just as well.
I'm talking about your future kids and your future wealth.
I'll still be broke.
Academics
anyway,
is not broke.
I here's the thing, though. He's better than me because I want to explain jack shit to these niggas, man.
Mm.
You don't have to. But you know, clearly, I think he was just trying to show people, like, yo, listen, do y'all really think we're some fucking aliens being rich? We're not.
Right.
And also, how old, I don't know if you guys know off the top of your head how old is his son, but it takes a certain time for a kid to realize, yo, like, your dad just makes way more money than everyone else.
Right.
But for that kid, like, honestly, that money doesn't really even affect him. Wiz said he wants to be with his friends. He doesn't want to be in a Wraith. If his friends are all on the bus,
yeah.
You know how lonely got to be? Most of the conversation when you in school, elementary school, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. kindergarten, it's from what y'all been on the bus together, y'all eat lunch together, y'all do everything together.
Yeah.
If you the kid that's getting taken out of lunch because you're rich,
right.
You can't go on the bus, you're missing out all half the fun. That's how you get bullied.
Right.
You ain't one of us. You just rich kid who show up for a couple periods and dip.
Right.
No. You let him have the experience. Of course, like, you want to kind of monitor it. I wouldn't be surprised if he don't send, I don't know if he has a mate or a helper, like, drive behind the bus. Yeah. Make sure the bus driver ain't on some fuck shit.
Right.
But let my son enjoy the experience, because he has to grow up in this real world. And some shit that, of course, being a father, like, you would know better than most, right?
Right.
You could teach him, there's certain things you could teach a son from man to boy.
Absolutely.
But there's also certain things he got to learn around his peers,
right.
And go to school and being around just regular people in society. You can't shelter him from that.
Absolutely, because these guys would be a kid. Like, me and my son, we just had like a really interesting conversation, and he told me that he was getting bullied. And because he got into a fight last year and he got suspended. And of course, we were upset that he got suspended, but he just let me know, like, yo, this kid was messing with me every day. He was saying something about my mom, and he was like, you know, mommy told me not to really pay no mind. And then eventually he started putting his hands on me. And he was like, yo, I told him, stop putting your hands on me, and then I fought him. And he was like, I stood up for myself. And I wasn't proud that my son fought. I was just proud that he stood up for himself. Mm-hmm. Now, how would that be if I was like, you know, I'm getting money. I can afford to have my son homeschool where he doesn't have to deal with this type of shit. Mm-hmm. No, I want my son to have these type of experiences, because he's not only going to get bullied in school. You're going to get bullied as an adult at whatever 9 to 5
life,
or whatever.
In work. You have to learn how to maneuver people. And
absolutely.
That's one of the most important lessons that you learn in school.
Right. And like, Wiz, I think... I understand you, Ak, but I think the thing about Wiz is that Wiz has always been a person that was, like, interacting with his fans. I remember, like, 2000, we was talking about 2009 early. I remember, like, Wiz tweeting, like, yo, to his fans, like, what's your favorite porn stars? Like he always has some funny ill shit and ill engagement. I think that's why people love him so much. And I think he just wanted to tell people, like, yo, listen, man, like, I understand that y'all know I'm a $100 million, six-figure, eight-figure nigga and all of that, but...
His mom is also very famous, so it's extra important
for this kid
to have something resembling a normal childhood.
They was just getting on his mom, too, because his mom took Sebastian, that's his son's name, to a concert, and I forgot who it was, but it was some pop singer, and it was like, oh, how do you let your son listen to that music? He's a kid. He's having fun. I think that, like, the world... It's such in a nasty place where we got time to critique people having natural order in life, but at the same time, it's because we put everything on damn Front Street. We're recording everything. We're taking pictures of everything, and everything is not for everybody to see.
But I'm reiterating. I just think he a better man. You know what? I was one of my guilty pleasures is that. And by the way, I fuck with Shade Room. I fuck with Baller. I love him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes I go over there to their comment section, super entertaining, to kind of get a different perspective. There's a lot of women over there, you know what I mean? A lot of women of color, and, you know, there's a lot of pettiness over there. And I remember I was looking at a post. It was Matt Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's something going on with him and his baby mother and their child, but right now he has full custody of his kids.
Mm.
And, you know, it's dads and their sons. I think it's like two twins. So you know, he has a lot of money from basketball. He's really successful. He threw like this backyard party. He had the bouncies and everything. And I was looking at that and shit, as a kid, if my dad ever did that, it's lit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm looking, I'm like enjoying it for them.
Right.
And I see so many people like, yo, oh my God, he's only doing it for this. And then it dawned on me, I'm like, everybody online has such an opinion of how you raised your kid.
Because they're always speaking from their perspective. That's the thing. People always projecting on you. Yeah. They don't know actually details about your life. It's always coming from their own experience. That's why you really can't internalize all of it.
Right. And I mean, for me, being a parent, that's why, like, you know, for my social media, I can really keep my social media to, like, really centered around my work and not my family, because my family is for me and they existed way before I knew what an Instagram or a Twitter was gonna be, and I didn't have them for other people's approval. Right. I'm not that I'm sensitive or nothing. I don't want people telling me about what I should do. And I didn't grow up with my mom stuffing a camera in my face every time I did something cute. Mm-hmm. You know, she took pictures of me that she has, that she gets to keep those memories. And yeah, we're just in that time where, like, everybody has something to say. It's the same thing like with money. Like, somebody will see Birdman buy $150,000 pinky ring, like, yo, that's stupid. Yo, it's his money. And if he got fucking 800,
it's
like,
relative.
You know what I mean? It's relative to what you want. Mm-hmm. You can spend, if you want to take all your money out the bank and set this shit on fire, it's not a good decision. But it's your decision, and you work to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just, me personally, I'm tired of seeing so many people have something to say about other people because they don't live those lives.
Yeah. And you can't please people. Like, again, that same Matt Barnes situation, people are like, you spend some, you show appreciation, you spend some money, and you bring the fun to them. Yo, he's buying his kids. If you didn't see the kids, he's a deadbeat. You can't win on social media. That's why sometimes you got to come to peace with what you're doing and just say, fuck him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's good that, you know, I like the fact that he did that, because I seen the bouncy house and all of that. That's regular kid shit. Like, for my daughter don't care nothing about no Jordans and Nikes. She wanted me to buy her some Vans with, like, a unicorn on them that have, like, a horn coming out of the shoe. That's what she cares about, because they look cute. You know, let your kids be kids. Yeah. I feel like, with celebrities, people try to hold celebrities to the highest standard because they have money. So it's like, yo, you didn't buy your son an iced out Rolly for his 10th birthday.
You didn't put a Patek on his wrist.
Yeah, you didn't put the Patek on him. Yo, you didn't give him the money
for the bust down Rolly?
Well, remember we had this conversation with Ak said, when he becomes a father, he's going all out.
Yo, nah, I'm going to spoil my kid.
Ak, I can't wait to like, see you as a dad.
Nah, hold on. I'm not going to lie. There will be zero bullying going on with my son. He going to be flexing on all you fucking bum-ass little kids.
You're going to have to get your kids security. You better, like, have a better plan.
But that's why, yo, no bullshit. That's why I'm about to put my daughter, she's 6, I'm about to put her in Muay Thai, because you're not going to play with her.
All right.
The only thing, I'm going to instill some hard work.
Right.
That's one thing, because being rich, it's hard. Like, when you see your dad give it all to you, be like, man, fuck all that, man. Why do I need to be working like these guys?
Right.
That's the only thing.
All right, guys, that's our show for the week. We'll catch you here every Friday on the Everyday Struggle podcast.